We would normally be starting, therefore, with singing from Psalm 16, and that's on page 17. It's a Sing Psalms version of the Psalm. So it's Psalm 16, page 17, and we're going to read from verse 7 to the end of the Psalm. I'll praise the Lord my God, with counsels guides me my choice, and even in the night my heart recalls instruction's voice. Before me constantly I'll set the Lord alone. Because he is at my right hand, I'll not be overthrown. Therefore my heart is glad. My tongue with joy will sing. My body too will rest secure in hope unwavering. For you will not allow my soul in death to stay, nor will you leave your Holy One to see the tomb's decay. You have made known to me the path of life divine. Bliss shall I know at your right hand, joy from your face will shine. So we'll have Psalm 16 from verse 7 to the end of the Psalm.
I'll praise the Lord my God, whose counsel guides my choice.
Testament, the prophecy of Isaiah and chapter 41. The prophecy of Isaiah and chapter 41. Let us read and hear God's word. Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near. Let them come speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Who raised up the righteous man from the east, calling him to his foot, gave the nations before him and made him rule over kings? He gave them as the dust to his sword and as driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them and passed safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first and with the last, I am he. The isles saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid, drew near and came. They helped everyone his neighbor, and everyone said to his brother, be of good courage. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smootheth with the hammer him that smote the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering. And he fastened it with nails that it should not be moved. But thou, Israel, art my servant. Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them, and shalt not find them. Even them that contended with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument. Having teeth, thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shalt make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. And thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittah tree, and the myrtle, and the olive tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree, and the pine, and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Amen. And this is the word of our God, and we look to him for his blessing to come upon it as we have read it and hear it this morning. Let us now gather together in prayer. Let us all pray. Our Lord and our God, we seek an audience this morning with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We are these days living in strange circumstances and arrangements, but nothing is more desirable to our heart, nothing is more valuable in our life than to meet with thyself, even this, the day appointed by thee, even in this place where thou hast said thou wilt meet with thy people. So, Lord our God, we pray that thou wouldst embrace us in thine arms and gather us together one with the other, separate as we might be physically, but together spiritually. And may we especially know what it is to come into the presence of our Lord and our God, and to bring with us the worship and the praise of our hearts. For who is a God liketh unto thee? For thou art the one who pardons sin and passes by the transgression of the remnant of thy people. And so we enjoy and experience peace in our souls in these days. Chaos may be around us, but there is a serene composure in the heart and the life of every one of thy people. For we know that all of the details of our life are in the hands of our God. As we come with our worship, we come also with our prayers, O Lord, seeking thy blessing upon each and every one of us as we gather here, the homes and the families we represent. We come, O Lord, as a part of a community, spread and distant as we might be, But, O Lord, we pray for those round about us, our neighbours, our community, those who have to go through something similar in circumstances and concerns and anxieties as we have ourselves day after day. But we know the source of peace and quietness as we bring them before thyself. And so we pray not only for ourselves but for others round about us. Concerns because of old age. Concerns because of ill health. Concerns because of the threat constantly round about us of a virus and infection. Lord, how we need thy protection and the awareness of thy provision for us. And we pray, Lord, that we might know that deployment of all of thy resources for the protection, the blessing, and the well-being of thy people. And as we come, O Lord, bringing with us these our prayers for ourselves, our family, and our loved ones. Lord, may we do so in the exercise of faith. Not merely reciting words. Not merely going through a formula. But Lord, with the devotion of our hearts, we look to thee with expectation. And we pray that thou wouldst come amongst us to bless us as we gather round thy word. And we are but one of so many others in our land today, doing exactly the same spiritual delight and pleasure. And we pray that we might know thy blessing coming upon our land, and those who are leaders amongst us, they have to make decisions on a daily basis that are far-reaching and so solemn and serious. And we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst give them understanding and wisdom in all that they have to do. But, O Lord, our God, as we do see these great decisions to be made, and as we are aware in some measure of the problems that are abroad in our land, nevertheless, we lament the lack of any spiritual perspective, the lack of any spiritual lesson coming from these things for ourselves today. So we pray for a stillness to come upon our people. The realization that we have abandoned so much that was and is good for us. And we pray that we might have once again amongst us the spirit of repentance, turning back to thyself whom we have forsaken. For although we might look for health and well-being and recovery in the plans, in the creations, in the medicines that are going around with vaccines today, ultimately the real and the noble and the lasting blessing has a spiritual quality about it that comes from thine hand and is for the good of ourselves and our society. Bless us, we pray then, as we come before thee today. And we ask our Lord that thou would speak to us and to others who are not with us. So many different ways of hearing thy word in these days. Through live streaming, through recording, through the spreading from one to the other, or gathering together in different homes. But wherever thy people gather, Lord, to look to thyself, do thou come amongst them as amongst us. And may all of us together bless and praise thy name for thy goodness and thy mercy following us all the days of our life. We ask these things, Lord, with the pardon and the forgiveness of our sin, in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Would you turn back with me to the portion of God's word we read there a moment ago, to Isaiah chapter 41, and we're reading verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yes, I will help thee. Yes, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. When I was with you last time at the end of November, I asked the question, how are you going to cope with great disasters or crises that come upon us? And I want to keep that same theme before us this morning. When everything seems to be crumbling round about us, what we thought would last a lifetime has taken a lifetime to build. As so far, that has survived everything we've thrown at it. But the time comes when it can be shaken and cracks appear. So what do we do then? Take that and apply it to the spiritual dimension to our lives. There's nothing, but nothing as shattering as spiritual truth applied to our soul. There's nothing more personal than that. When God's word begins to get inside our skin, begins to stick to our thinking and our living and have an effect upon us, leaves us unsettled, might even frighten us. When we're told new things about our sin and about our God, and we're left feeling uncomfortable. The only place and the only person that can give us peace when God begins to work in us like that is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Because only his blood and only his life has any effect to meet the needs of our soul as we discover them. We are required to trust in him. And he gives indeed that precious gift of his peace and his pardon. And the question we've got to ask ourselves at the very beginning here this morning is, do we have and do we know that peace, his gift to his people? So yes, that's the first question I want us, as a very preliminary but vital beginning. How do we cope? But I want to go on and I want to ask the question, yes, there are fears that come, not just as the Lord begins to work with us, but there are fears that come upon us as we go along the Christian's life as well. There can be dark clouds when we walk our daily life. There can be heavy burdens we've got to carry along that way. Sometimes we even know that there are temptations and troubles that come trying to rob us of the joy that is our legitimate experience. So yes, there are phases and there are stages in the Christian's life when we have to sometimes walk in the shadow. We come through testing times. Maybe there's opposition comes upon us round about. Maybe there are temptations which have a renewed strength as they come before us. Maybe the providence of a day go against us. It comes in so many different forms and ways. We can be tested, tried, under pressure. And when that comes upon us, we sometimes give in to being afraid and being dismayed. And the Lord is here speaking to that kind of person in these circumstances. And he is saying, fear not. Do not be dismayed. The Lord recognizes that kind of fear that will be visited upon his people. And he deals with it and he identifies it and he addresses it very powerfully here for us this morning. He forbids it. And he gives powerful arguments to ban it from our life and our living. Because the desire of the Lord is that we would walk in the joy of the possession of faith, trusting in Christ. That we would enjoy the blessings of his lavish provision for the souls of his people. And anything, but anything that threatens that experience is addressed severely. And the Lord deploys strong argument to banish it from us. All you have to do is go on to chapter 43 of this very book. And there the prophet speaks about these very experiences. When you pass through the waters, when you go through the fire, these are not minimalistic, small experiences that have been talked about. These are hard times, difficult things. And the very beginning of that chapter, he says, I have formed you. I have redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. And in the middle of the verse, there's that gem. Fear not. When you're going through these things, because that is what you are to me. He sets out a relationship then. God has taken the initiative and God is responsible for his people and bestows privileges upon us. So therefore, come what may. And sometimes we do think that we're alone, but the Lord says, no, you're not alone. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. So let's linger over this verse 10 for a while this morning. I want us to think of the command that is given. I want us to think of the reasons that are deployed. And I want us to think of the comfort that is experienced. Three very simple words as a skeleton for our thinking of this verse this morning. First of all then, the command that is given. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. What's the background to these words in history? Where they were living, the Assyrian nation was on the warpath. It was a fearful, cruel nation that invaded and imposed dire consequences on those that they subjected. They cast a dark shadow wherever they moved. Fear came upon the Gentiles. Nations were told here what they were going to do. They were driven to their idols. They were there making fresh images. We've got to do something because look at what's coming over the horizon to catch us. But it's not that way for God's people. Remember what we got out of chapter 43. Here it is again given to us. A relationship. Just listen to the words. Verse 8, you are my servant. I have chosen you. You are my friend. And he says at the end of verse 9, I have chosen you. I have not cast you away. That's a truth that applies to the nation of Israel. And we can take it time after time and apply it to the sons and the adopted children of God, to ourselves today. These same truths apply to us. The same relationship is in place. And that is a great comfort to us all. That's the first line of defense that the Lord deploys for his people when they approach these circumstances then and ours today. But he comes to a second line of defense when he comes to verse 10. Yes, that's the relationship. And what does it mean? Break it down, unpack it. What does that mean for us? Fear not. Don't be dismayed. I'm sure we've all done it. From time to time, we look over our shoulder and we try to see, well, what's coming after me now? What threat is looming on the horizon of life? We can be so often intimidated by these circumstances. But the great privilege and protection to God's people, this relationship which we've just given a thumbnail sketch of. But there's a greater provision that God makes. He says, don't be afraid. We have the gift of faith whereby we can look high and above all the circumstances round about us. We can look to our God. And that's what makes the difference. These people were off making their idols of stone, of metal, of wood. These people were devoting themselves to their idols and to their images. But God's people, that very important little word comes at the beginning of verse 8. But you, Israel, you are different. You are different because you are mine. No sudden change, then or now. No development in the nation, albeit an advancing army or an advancing virus. No turn of events, then or now. Nothing will produce that anxiety with the God's people who trust in Him. We have a life, and we have a faith, and we have a God that is unflappable, come what may. So that's the command. But again, let's get it down to where we are ourselves. We should always try to get a flesh and blood, try to get something we can relate to, identify with. So I want to try just simply to pick up different characters with different situations that might be a help to us to take this lesson to ourselves. If you go right back to the beginning of the book, Genesis chapter 15. And there was God speaking to Abraham. The situation is that there was a promised child to come to Abraham. And Abraham was afraid. Afraid that it might not happen. He might not have that child. So what does he say? After these words, the Lord came to Abraham in a vision saying, fear not, Abraham. I am thy child. I am thy shield and thine exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? That was his fear. That was his concern. God had given him a promise and is afraid that that promise would not be fulfilled. Take that right down to ourselves. Has God given us a promise? And perhaps from time to time we might be afraid that it would not be fulfilled. God says, fear not. Yes, there it is about a promise. Move on. This time to Deuteronomy chapter 31. And again, the situation is Moses is about to die. He's going to hand over the leadership to Joshua. What's he going to do? What's he going to face? How's he going to face it? We come to chapter 31 and verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. The Lord speaking to Joshua. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Again, take that right down to ourselves. There was Joshua facing a new situation. He was going to face it alone. How was he going to do it? An uncertain future we all have to face. It comes and it can instill fear and dread with us. But there we have God speaking to Joshua and speaking to us, no matter what tomorrow or the next week will bring for each of us. He says to Joshua, he says to us, fear not. Don't be afraid. I am with you. We move on in the life of Joshua then. What's he got to do? He's got to lead the people. He doesn't have Moses with him anymore. He doesn't have somebody he can lean to and look to. How is he going to cope having to lead this great nation? Joshua chapter 10, verse 25. And Joshua said to them, "Fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of a good courage, fighting against an enemy. For thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom you fight." We've got temptations we've got to battle against. We've got problems we've got to face out there in life. We've got to face them alone. Perhaps we looked to someone in the past and leant upon that person, but now we're on our own. And this word comes, "Fear not, nor be dismayed. For thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom you fight." And so it goes on. If you go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, there we have the king and his nation. Three times in that chapter he says, there's a great nation, a great multitude coming against us. How are you going to face the problem of great sin coming against us today? Again, fear not. Don't be dismayed. And then we come, one last reference, Deuteronomy chapter 1. Let me take time to deal with it because it's so precious to God's people, perhaps. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 21. Here we have them about to enter into the land that the Lord has provided for them. They're about to step into the promised land. Chapter 1, verse 21. We read this. "Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before you. Go up and possess it, as the Lord thy God hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged." We know what happened. The people were discouraged and the people were afraid and they didn't go into that land. But the land was there set before them in all of its richness, and only two people entered in, Caleb and Joshua. Again, let us take that to ourselves. The Lord has made great provision for us. We enjoy in a measure here. And there is a fullness coming in glory for God's people. And we might say to ourselves, "Oh, that's for someone else, not for me." We're afraid to experience it and to enjoy it. We're afraid to claim it and to take it to ourselves. But God is saying, "Don't be afraid. Take what is legitimately yours. Boldly claim it as yours by right in God's grace, and enjoy in a measure the foretaste now and the fullness to come of that lavish provision made for sinners." So yes, we've taken time and we've looked at this command. Let's now try to put a foundation underneath it. What are the reasons for it? And we're going on a lot quicker. Two very simple reasons that the prophet gives us here. Whenever you find Old Testament or New Testament, whenever the Lord Jesus spoke to his disciples, he says, "Fear not." He always gave a reason to uphold it. "Fear not, I'm with you." It's the same here. "Fear not, why?" Two simple things that I want to outline for you. There's some single vital truth. One vital truth that the prophet wants every one of his people to take to their soul, to lodge in their soul, and to grow and mature in their soul. Fear not. Why? For I am with you. And the way in which it's put in the Hebrew is much more personal, and it comes down to us more precious, and it's more powerful. The Hebrew says, with you, I am. He comes down and he speaks to people right in the very center of their fear and anxieties, and he says, listen, friend, listen, with you, I am. Two simple truths. There is the assurance of God's presence. The assurance of God's presence with us through all the strange experiences, through all the chaotic circumstances, through all the heavy burdens that come to us day after day. The assurance of God's presence with you, I am. Hebrews chapter 13 takes that very motif up and he says, I will never leave you. No, never, ever, ever will I leave you. I have not cast you away. The very end of verse 9 in our text, chapter 41 of Isaiah. Verse 9, I have chosen you and not cast you away. We can think of ourselves many reasons why God should do that when we think of the way we've been inconsistent in our living and in our practice. But God says, no, no, with you I am. And again, we've got the great truth there. Paul standing on the hillside, looking out over the nation and all the experiences of humanity. And he says, Can anything separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ, his Son? And the answer comes back with a deafening roar. No, no, no. Nothing can separate us from his love. So yes, there's the assurance of God's presence. One undergirding reason. With you I am. But there is another reason that is given here we can see for ourselves. Be not dismayed. Why? Why should we not be dismayed? For I am your God. There is the assurance of God's presence. And the second reason, there is the fullness of his character. Who is it that is with us? Who is it that supports us and sustains us and is with us each day? Who is it? Nothing else, nothing other than the living God himself. And the fullness of his character is deployed round about his people to keep them safe. 2 Kings is a chapter, I forgot the reference, it's just coming to me. Elisha and the king of Syria want to capture him. And they sent an army to capture Elisha. And they were round the prophet, and the servant got up and he went out and he looked and he says, there's a mighty army round about us, protecting us, defending us against the Assyrians coming. And this was the army of the Lord protecting his people. The fullness of God's character. All of his might, all of his power, all of his wisdom, all of his resources deployed to protect his own. So we need not look over our shoulder. We need not look at and interpret circumstances of each day round about us. We need not do any of these things simply because of what God says here. I am with you. And who is it that is with us? I am your God. Remember when the people of Israel left Egypt, what was it? There was a fire, there was a cloud round about them. The Christian today lacks nothing. Lacks nothing. Yes, we can sometimes be living on meager rations. Yes, we can sometimes be living in the shadowy place. Yes, we can sometimes be complaining bitterly even about what we've got to carry and where we've got to go. But everything like that and much more, none of these things arise from a lack of our God. They're often because of a lack with ourselves. Because we're reluctant to take him at his word and what he's promised and what he said he will give to us. We need, therefore, to live up to the enjoyment of the lavish provision of our God, the assurance of his presence, the fullness of his character. So yes, we've looked at the comfort, something of the command that God has given and the reasons that support it. Thirdly, let's think of the comfort that is to be enjoyed. And again, let me simply break it down just to give the headings. The comfort comes from two very different sources. What is said and who says it? What is said and who says it? Putting it in a way that we remember. The comfort comes because of the substance that is said. And comfort comes because of the source from which it comes. The substance. What is it that God is saying here? Three simple things that God says that are our comfort. He says, I will strengthen you. Whatever demands come to you and to me in this coming week or weeks or months or year, whatever comes upon us, God's word is, I will strengthen you. No matter what the demands might be, God is equal to them. We might be taxed severely in our resources, but there is nothing that will exhaust or deplete our God. And he will always be there right at the right moment. A comfort, I will strengthen you. He goes on and he says, I will help you. Whenever we're in need, whatever variety there might be in that need from you and me and all of us together, we have God saying, I will help you with the wisdom, the courage, the strength. I will be there with the grace, the insight. And so the list goes on with what God will give to his people to help them. I will help you. We might have to speak in a difficult situation. We might have to live amongst people who have little or no sympathy for us. We might have to live with a coping and cope with a situation at home, at work, or around about us. We're not left to fend for ourselves. God says, I will help you. God says, I will strengthen you. And God says, thirdly, I will uphold you with my right hand of my righteousness. That's a reference particularly to God sustaining us and protecting us when we stand for him. When we stand for him and take a stance on Christian truths and living. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Picture for a moment a little baby, a little child beginning to walk. And to stumble. And the parent is there holding out the arms and just backing off to make the child walk stronger, further towards the parent. And the arms of the parent are always there to keep safe that child. The same applies to our God. His hand keeps us, and his hand sustains us, and he will keep us safe. Those that rest and trust in the Lord, Indeed, this is their experience day after day. There is no reason to be afraid. There is no reason to be dismayed. Yes, if our sin has not been dealt with, then we need and we should be afraid, and terror should be with us until that problem is addressed and solved. But if we have the Lord as our Savior, these truths come home to every one of God's people, however we might be placed or wherever we might have to live. He says, I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you. The substance of what God is saying. But I said also, and with this I'm closing, the comfort comes from another source. Not only the substance of what God is saying, but the source of who is saying it. Who is it that is speaking with us here this morning in this text? Who is it that goes with us, addresses us, encourages us from his word? It is God. And let me just simply put this encouragement like this. The source. God is speaking, and he has spoken with deliberation. What do I mean? He says, I will do these things. You and I know that we can make exactly the same kind of comment. Yes, I'll do it. Yes, I'll do it. And then something exciting comes. There's some persuasion we're under. Yes, I'll do it. And we regret it afterwards. There is no regretting on God's part. There's no rushing of God. There is no haste or hurry with the infinite God. When he speaks with deliberation. He has spoken of old. His decree has come from everlasting. And he will do it. Spoken with deliberation. Not only that, but when God speaks, he speaks with omnipotence. He speaks with might behind what he says. Oh yes, I'll do it for you. We make great promises and then we realize, oh wait a minute. Now that's beyond my ability. I can't do that. I don't have the experience. I don't know how to do this. I'm lost. I don't have the strength to do what I promised. We cannot carry it out. Not so with God. He speaks with deliberation. And he speaks with might and omnipotence behind it. That is too hard for our God. There is no limitation on his power. There is no limitation or restriction on his promises. So yes, a source of comfort, spoken with deliberation, spoken with power and omnipotence. Thirdly and lastly, it is sealed with immutability. Big words, let me give it to you. There's no change with God. When God speaks, he doesn't have to backtrack. He doesn't have to reverse. He doesn't have to put a reserve upon what he says. We continue to change. You and I, both of us together. No 2 days are exactly the same. But God never changes. The words, again, we go back to Hebrews. God, who is the same yesterday, today, forever. When he says something, he does not have to go back and alter it and amend it or adjust it. He does not have to withdraw it, oh, because circumstances have changed for me. Something's happened in my life. I can't do it anymore. I've got to change what I've said. I've got to withdraw the promise and undertaking I've given. there are surprises round the corner of life for you and me. There are no surprises round the corner for God. That's the confidence that we have. That's the comfort that God gives. That is the enjoyment that you and I can have as we take this text and apply it to ourselves. The command God gives, don't fear, don't be dismayed. The reasons for it, the assurance of God's presence and the fullness of God's character undergirding it. The substance, I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you. And who is it that speaks? It is God who speaks with deliberation, who undergirds it with power, and who does not have to change an iota of what he has said. This is our God this morning. Let us pray. Lord, our gracious God, again we bless thy name for the riches of thy word and its application to us. And we pray that thou wouldst help us to live in the enjoyment of these things for ourselves in these days that unfold before us. But help us, Lord, to walk by faith, trusting and relying upon thyself. And we do pray, Lord, that thou wouldst bless them to us after we've gone from our gathering and the voice of man hath ceased. May these words still be brought home to us with the voice and application of thy Spirit. So bless us, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We close this morning's service by reading from Psalms 37. It's from the Scottish Psalter, and it's on page 252. 252, 37, verse 3. Set thou thy trust upon the Lord, and be thou doing good. And so in thy land shalt dwell, and verily have food. Delight thyself in God. He'll give thine heart's desire to thee. Thy way to God commit, him trusted, bring to pass shall he. And like unto the light he shall thy righteousness display, and he thy judgment shall bring forth like noontide of the day. Rest in the Lord, and patiently wait for him. Do not fret for him who, prospering in his way, success in sin, doth get. These four verses of Psalm 37, set thou thy trust upon the Lord. Mercy and peace from God, Father,